Welcome to Sox Talk on the Air on SoxTalk.com. I'm Mario Scalise coming to you from Chicago, and the sleepy one is Jason Gage in California. What's up, Jace?
What's up? It's an early edition, doing this show pretty early.
A late edition, too, because we missed last week.
Yes. I was well out of town, well gone. And
you know what's a shame is that we missed last week because you were closer to Chicago.
Yeah, it was actually kind of weird. It was weird because I had no computer access for a full week, which is odd just because I had no idea what was going on, like, sports-related. I got to see some Sox games, though.
It's also good to get away from the computer sometimes, too. I know sometimes I feel like that, too.
Well, I like it because all the work I do on it, it's nice to get a break every once in a while. Yeah.
Well, the Sox, they had the break, and haven't come out of it too well. They faced the Yankees, got swept. They got beat pretty handily. The first game, they made a little bit of a comeback. They were down 3 runs in the 9th inning, tried to make a little comeback off of Vera, which was fairly impressive. But the second game, they were completely destroyed. Burley pitched very poorly. And then yesterday's game, once again, they tried to make a little bit of a comeback, but I think they had 14 hits and left a whole bunch of guys on base. But they entered the break 2.5 out. Now they're 4.5 down. And they got this Detroit series coming up. Panic time?
Yeah, you have to go into a little bit of panic because you lose this series, you're 7.5 back if you get swept. And you do not have the starting pitching to compete with the Detroit Tigers. I don't care what our starting pitching did last year because it's evident our starting pitching is not capable of doing that. So it's our offense that's carrying the team. And we can't continue to rely on our offensive carry team. And to gain 7.5 games back, if let's say we do get swept, and this is where I'm saying it is time to panic, is if we do get swept, we're in deep stuff, because then you have us pretty much even in the wild card race and 7.5 back with a team like the Yankees trying to get a Bobby Abreu.
I'll say this. I think whenever you get swept, it's obviously bad. I mean, if we sweep the Tigers are obviously in a pretty delicate situation themselves. As far as the Sox rotation and the Tigers rotation, I wouldn't go as far to say that. Now, if this keeps up for the next month and going into September, the teams are going head-to-head, but the Sox are purely in it because of their offense, then I would start having being a little bit concerned. But when I look at the Sox rotation, if I would have to pick one for the stretch, I would still go with them, as good as the Tigers rotation has been. And I like the Tigers rotation. I've never really had a problem with it. Although, I mean, a lot of these guys are having great years. You know, an ERA, 1 point below their career ERAs. I still think in the next few months, I would rather take the Sox rotation as bad as they've been.
I can't say that anymore. Yeah, Freddy Garcia, who can't throw his fastball. His ERA is over 5. Javier Vasquez's ERA is over 5. John Carlin, who's been our second best pitcher as of late, you could even make an argument that he's been our best pitcher the past month, has an ERA over 5. Mark Burley is pitching bad, and then you got Contreras. And I don't see any reason why Freddy Garcia is all of a sudden going to turn things around. He's capable of pitching successfully without his good velocity, but there's something going on there mentally. I have no idea what's going on with Freddy.
I will say this. I do think there are definitely some concerns and some question marks. When I look at Garcia, I look back at last year, and you remember, the reason, you may not agree with me in this, but the reason the Sox kind of stumbled in the second half was because Mark Burley and Freddy Garcia were not pitching anywhere near their capabilities. They end up turning it around, though, as the season went on. I think right now what you may be seeing from Burley is you might just be seeing a period where he's just flat out just bad. I think he's throwing a lot of strikes, he's leaving a lot of pitches up, and he's getting hammered for it. I think he could figure it out. I think Garcia, he doesn't have his velocity, but I still think he has the capabilities to figure it out.
I'm just saying it's 6 months, I mean, not 6 months in the season, halfway into the season. It's actually over halfway into the season. And stuff stops becoming a slump, and it starts becoming a trend at this point in time. The Detroit Tigers have proven they're a very good team, and they're actually the best team in baseball right now. You're not going to get an argument out of me. Now, I will say this. They're going to have to prove when they make the playoffs, and I'm saying that when, not if, because they're either going to win the division or they're going to be the wild card team. It's going to be one or the other. And they will have to prove at that point that they can beat the rest of the teams that are really good. And that I can't go out and say that they can do that. but they're going to be playing a lot of Kansas City's. They're going to be playing a lot of bad teams. I mean, they've done a great job beating up on the bad teams. Let's be realistic.
I think they're 11-1 against Kansas City this year.
So, I mean, let's be realistic. All they got to do is beat the crap out of the bad teams they play, and they're fine. They could lose every damn game to the Yankees, Red Sox, and, well, they couldn't lose every game to the White Sox because then they'd probably have trouble winning the division. But they could lose every game to the Yankees and Red Sox and probably still take the wild card with ease. And if they split games with the White Sox, then they'd be golden. Though.
You look at this American League. Look at the American League Central. They only have, I think, 7 games left with the Royals. So as far as bad teams, while the Indians are playing poorly, and I'm actually very happy for it because I didn't think they were going to have that good of a season anyway, they're still a team that when you play them, it's not going to be easy to beat. The Twins are not an easy team to beat. So I don't necessarily know if you could say if the Tigers just beat the bad teams, because what bad teams are they going to be playing? There's still some competitive teams in the American League. So I don't think it's going to be easy. This is my concern when it comes to this rotation is you look at a Verlander. I think he's an extremely talented pitcher. I think from a long-term standpoint, you know, a lot of teams would like to have him. But I think he's on pace to throw about 230 innings this year. I'm curious to see, come September, how his arm holds up. I'm curious to see how guys like Bonderman and Nate Robertson, and if Morales comes back, how these arms hold up in September. That's what I'm curious. I'm wondering if they're going to have a dead-arm period at any point this year and how that team's going to respond to it. Go ahead.
There's no doubt that there's going to be a dead-arm period. There's no way Justin Verlander is going to stay healthy if he throws 230 innings. And he may stay healthy this year, but he's going to have some problems long-term. And it's going to be a major mistake if they really put that type of pressure on him. I mean, a young pitcher cannot...
Especially with the depth that they have in their rotation, you would think that they would be a little bit more passive with him. But when you're in the Tiger situation, when you don't win in so many years, you have an opportunity to possibly... Especially when you look at baseball now, look at this season, there's not really a dominating team out there. The Tigers obviously have the best record. But when you look at every single team, there is some weaknesses out there. The Sox have some weaknesses. The Red Sox, the Yankees, they all have some weaknesses. So... the Tigers actually have a possibility, if this rotation holds up, to maybe win the World Series. So, in their case, maybe they're looking at, you know what, forget the future. We have a chance to maybe do something really, really big this year.
Oh, and that's definitely the case. When you haven't won this long and your team's bad and you finally get something going, there's damn good reason to have pressure. This is a guy that's thrown in college. Now he is a little bit older. I mean, he's only 22, but he did have some college ball experience. He threw 113 innings his sophomore season, 116 his junior season, 105 his senior season. And then in the minor leagues, he threw 118 innings in 2005. And right now he's thrown, well, let's be honest, he's thrown pretty much the exact same as he's had in any season. He's thrown 117, and he's on pace to throw 206 innings. So somewhere down the road, they're going to have to get him some rest. Maybe throw an extra, you know, day somewhere. Because if this team goes into the playoffs, you're going to be adding even more innings on top of that workload. Mm-hmm. And so that and Kenny Rogers is not a second half pitcher. Well, the rotation wasn't any good this weekend.
When I look at this rotation, and that's not my problem. I actually don't really care for this offense too much. The rotation I don't mind. I actually like the rotation. I liked it last year. But look at their career ERAs. They're down a point. They're lower than a point, all of them. You look at Bonderman, you look at Robertson, they're all low. They're a good run lower. And when you look at their second halves last year, they all were over 5. Bonderman had an ERA of like 5.7. Robertson had an ERA over 5. Kenny Rogers struggled in the second half last year, too. Now, maybe it was because of the whole camera incidents. I don't know. But I think there is some possibility that this rotation could stumble a little bit. Now, the thing is, if the Sox don't get their act together, it doesn't make a difference. Because, you know, the Tigers could stumble all they want. If the Sox keep on pitching the way they've been pitching and playing like they did in that Yankee series, it's not going to make a damn difference. The Tigers might be able to win the division with 90 wins.
Well, both teams are going to get to 90 wins. And the thing is, it's going to take 97 wins to win the wild card this year.
Probably.
Or so it seems. So, I mean, it's going to take – there's going to be a damn good team that misses out on the playoffs.
Yeah. And you're gonna have a team in the West, or you're gonna have a team like the Blue Jays, or even the Twins if they keep on going. You're gonna have one of those a good team, maybe winning 93, 94 games, missing out.
Well, let's be honest. Blue Jays and Twins are fine and dandy, but it's going to be one of the Yankees, White Sox, or Red Sox, or if the Tigers have some mental collapse that don't make the playoffs.
I'm talking about the teams that don't make the playoffs, though. I'm saying you might have a couple teams with 90-plus wins not making the playoffs.
No, that's definitely the case. You could have Oakland not making playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. Or even the Rangers. You have the Rangers, Angels, and Oakland. One of those three teams could, you know, obviously the chances of two of those teams making the playoffs are highly unlikely, but you could have a couple 88, you know, wins there and no playoffs. Going to the Sox, though, this offense has been carrying for most of the season, and we both talked about this early in the year. Really, the first 2 months of the season, they were an average team. They were winning on talent alone, in my opinion. Is this offense going to be able to carry this pitching staff the rest of the way, though, is the big question, though, because if this rotation doesn't get it together, they're going to be relying purely on the offense.
It's good enough to carry it the whole way, but I just can't see it happening. I mean, this offense has been playing pretty much red hot all season long, and it's not going to continue. Jermaine Dye is not going to continue to have MVP-type numbers. He's a good to solid, you know, he's a good player, but he's not an MVP player.
I would agree.
Jim Thome is solid. His streaky is hella solid. Canerco's solid. You know, we got all that. Creedy's playing a little bit over his head, but everyone knows he's had the talent to do this.
Yeah.
Pierzynski's pretty much going back to what his career numbers were from a couple years ago, yeah. When he was an average hitter. You have
Anderson's obviously progressing a lot. You know, Uribe had a little streak, and he's kind of leveled off since. Iguchi's been solid as can be. You know, Pitsenik's been decent. You know, nothing great, but he's been decent.
But I don't care how good our offense is. You can, in our last six games, we've lost five of them, and we're talking against the Yankees and Red Sox. They've given up 47 runs, 26 against the Yankees, 21 against the Red Sox. You just can't do that and win. I don't care how damn good your offense is, and regardless of their offense, even if it carries this team into the playoffs, they ain't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
We've seen what good offenses do in the playoffs. They wilter to good pitching.
And I said this in the beginning of the year when I first started seeing this team play. The talent of this team is much greater than last year. But if this team goes into the playoffs, there's some doubts. And even from an offensive standpoint, I'm gonna be really honest. When I look at this offense, I have some questions on them going into the playoffs. I've said this time and time again. I was more comfortable with last year's offense from a consistency standpoint, as far as bat to bat and just their approach and going into the playoffs, I would feel more comfortable with last year's offense. But this team, it would stumble in the playoffs big time. Now, with that said, I still think this rotation is going to pick it up. One problem that they had is Burley. We talked about Garcia. Vasquez, we had a long argument about it 2 weeks ago.
Right, Vasquez is going to be the X factor of this rotation. That's right. I'm putting it all on Vasquez right here because Garcia isn't going to do shit. I said it about Cliff Polite. He's just been sent down. And now I'm not saying I'm not as confident. I knew Polite would never do anything. Garcia very well could, but I'm just not a fan of his attitude. I've never been the biggest Garcia fan. I liked him when he could throw 94 mile an hour. Because it allowed him to get away with some of his other stuff, and when he would fart around, and you know, I'm just not a fan. Burley, I do think he will probably figure things out, but it could be a thing where the Leafs kind of figure something out on what he does, and we're throwing too many, you know, first pitch strikes, and then obviously he's also leaving the pitches up, which doesn't help, and he may have to make a whole readjustment, but he could overthink things totally, and then really screw up and get in a funk.
You know what?
That's the worst case on Burley. And so with Garcia, you know, not being there, you hope Garland is going to pitch like he did most of last year, and he's been doing that the last month. You got to hope he continues that, and you hope Contreras continues that, and then it comes down to Vasquez. If Cooper has worked some things in, and they think he's on a point to turn, and I've heard a lot of people close to the organization think he is, then he's going to have to be that key guy that. If Burley figures things out and Vasquez can, then if we only have Garcia as a weak link, then that gives us four solid quality starters. They'll be all right.
When you look at last year's rotation, many people can make the arguments that you had four number one, number two type pitchers. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, I couldn't make that argument today.
Well, I mean, compared to most teams, they had four top-of-the-line rotation guys. Not necessarily number ones, but four quality guys. I think this year, you're looking at more of like a 1-5 rotation. I think Contreras, he's obviously the ace, and I think he's got to keep on going. I think Garland, a huge second half, he's going to be the key. I think he's going to get really hot because Garcia and Vasquez, while I think they're going to be fine, I do not think that they're going to explode. I think they're going to have decent second halves. I think Burley's going to figure it out because he usually does figure it out. I think the key is going to be how hot does Garland get. I think if he gets hot and he gets in a role like he did the first half of last year and you have Contreras pretty much pitching the way he's capable of pitching, I think you're going to have a solid rotation. You're not going to have a great rotation, but 1-5, you're going to have five quality pitchers. And with the offense, maybe it takes a little bit of pressure off the offense to where they could just kind of do what they've been doing without feeling that they have to score 12 runs a game. And then, of course, it all depends how the bullpen is situated. You know, beginning of the year, I had some major concerns for him. I'm going to say this. I thought Bobby Jenks was going to struggle at some point this year. He's proven me wrong. In fact, he's actually looked better than last year, in my opinion. He's looked unbelievable. He's having movement on his fastball, which he really didn't have last year. His curveball looks solid as can be. He's throwing strikes. He's impressed me a lot. Now, the risky trade was really good. I still like Neil Kotz, and Matt Thornton has surprised everybody, and he's done a fine job. Now, hopefully, Sean Tracy.
Yeah, Thornton had, you know, his bad inning against the Yankees, but aside from that, the bullpen has picked itself up. Brandon McCarthy's had some big innings for this team, and in terms of our rotation, I want to get into a little bit of trade rumors because there is talk that Garcia is on the block,
yes,
potentially, and there's talk that even Vasquez could maybe be on the block. I think the Sox would prefer to trade Garcia, the two, because Vasquez still has, you know, all the stuff that everyone raves about, even though I've had my big disagreement.
I would agree.
You
know what? I would definitely, if you're going to trade one of the two or anybody in that Sox rotation, I would definitely trade Garcia. And I actually would have said this last year, too.
And with that, they could trade him for another starter and, you know, throw in prospects, you know, whoever they want to get. You know, there's not many starters out there. There's names, and Ken Williams, I can tell you, Ken Williams is interested in potentially doing that. But you also have the option of dealing one and getting a bullpen arm or two and really shoring up that pen and throwing McCarthy back into the rotation. And McCarthy has been pretty good as of late, and he's really figured things out. And he's been helpful out of the bullpen. He's had some rough games, but for the most part, he's been a pretty good reliever considering he's the type of guy that really doesn't fit in the bullpen. His arm, just the way he's built, he's not really a reliever.
Well, if they were to go out there, if they make a trade, if they trade a Garcia, I don't think they should get a starting pitcher. I think you went to this year with all that money invested into your five starters. Don't try to go make these drastic changes as far as getting a starter. So I do agree, if you're going to trade Garcia, you get a reliever, you put McCarthy in the rotation, and if you get a reliever, and he's a good, above-average reliever, you add depth to that pen and you pretty much say, listen, our rotation isn't as good as last year, but maybe we don't have to have nine innings every single start. Maybe we could shorten up the game and go to our bullpen in the sixth, seventh inning and go about it that way. Because last year, they didn't do that much. Last year, as deep as the Sox bullpen was last year, they did not take advantage of it much last year. They still use their starters deep into the game, so maybe they should go that route. Maybe if they get a reliever and they really try to make that bullpen deep, especially if Tracy kind of develops and he kind of works into the early inning role, you could maybe add some nice depth to that bullpen and shore up a ball game and say, listen, pitchers, we have a good enough offense for you. Just give us six innings every start, and we'll go to our bullpen then. And maybe you live off that. And maybe if Burley and Vasquez, if they get hot late in the season, then in the playoffs you could have them carry you again. You know, you could have your starting pitcher carry you through the playoffs again, like they did last year. But maybe adding the depth to that bullpen is the key.
Well, I definitely think it would be nice to get a Tom Gordon type reliever and putting him in the pen because Risky hasn't been that impressive. I mean, to be honest,
he's been solid. He's a middle reliever.
He's been decent, but he's not a setup guy.
No, he's a middle reliever.
And the team needs a right-handed setup guy. So Risky, I guess, could be in that role.
If he's with somebody else.
McCarthy can't pitch in that role because he doesn't get used enough to be in that role. So they do have a need for a Tom Gordon type reliever. I don't consider it a dire need because I think this team is just fine. if the pitching pitches like it's capable
if they,
of.
Yeah, if the rotation but, figures it out, then the bullpen isn't that much of a problem. Although you still like some depth. At least I would like some depth there.
And I all the knocking I've done on our rotation, it still led, I think, all of baseball in innings pitched.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just throw
this
out here.
I think it's about, what, 500 innings, over 500 innings they've thrown? Maybe about 550?
I just want to throw this out here. I'm going to go back to when the Cubs had their season, you know, where Pryor was pitching amazing, Kerry Wood was actually healthy for mm-hmm. most of that year, and they went into the playoffs, they had the Marlins, it looked like they were going to win, and Alex Gonzalez made an error at shortstop. No. That guy didn't ruin the game. It's Alex Gonzalez made an error. But everyone knew that season. At least I did. I told anyone that I knew that rotation was going to be toast the following year because of the way Dusty Baker pitched him. And I just want to throw this out there. Has Ozzie Gann maybe hurt this rotation? Because they throw a lot of innings, but they also have some games where they throw a lot of pitches. I mean, last year Garcia was left out, you know, for 119 pitches on multiple occasions where he would really get up in his pitch count. And sometimes they were in games where it was questionable to consider to leave him out there. And for example, you have an off day today, and yesterday Garcia throws 110 pitches. Maybe they're teaching him a lesson, wanting him to use the fastball. But Garcia, he did pitch good his final three innings yesterday's game after getting shelled. But is Garcia maybe feeling the effects of, you know, throwing so many damn pitches?
I think that's a possibility, but I think when you compare these guys to the Cubs, you're looking at guys like Garcia and Burley, who historically they've been able to throw 200 innings a year and no problem. They've developed their arms over the past, you know, 6 years or whatever. In the Cubs' case, these guys were young guys who were pretty much just starting the big league. So jumping up 200 innings, it's almost like a Verlander. If you have Verlander throw 230 innings this year, you're going to feel the effects next year. Now, maybe you won't feel the effects with the Kenny Rogers, per se. But when you look at the Sox, Garcia, even Vasquez, as average as subpar as he's been throughout his career, he's still a guy who's thrown 200 innings, and he's proven he can throw 200 innings. Garland probably has the strongest arm in the team in that rotation, I would say. In terms of just, if there's one guy I would bet against having an injury, it would be him. And Couture has been throwing pretty hard, I think. I don't think the problem really with Burley is an injury. I mean, he's made that clear. He goes, I feel great. He's just simply not locating it. And it's happened before with him. It's happened before where he's had those few starts where they're bad. Garcia may be hurt, but I don't know if that's Guillen's problem. I think it's just that's Garcia's problem.
No, I think you have a very valid point that all those guys that we had in our rotation last year, and they were throwing pitches, but it's something they'd been doing for, you know, a long time. They've all been 200 inning guys.
Unless it caught up to them finally after years.
You had the 200 innings plus you had the postseason, and in Garcia's case, you had that World Baseball Classic. So I do think there is a legitimate thing to that, and I wonder, let's say we pick up a reliever and we don't trade a starting pitcher, we trade prospects. Maybe they put Garcia on the disabled list?
I was just about to ask you that. What if they were to pop him on the DL, let him sit for maybe 2-3 weeks, maybe even throughout all of August, and then kind of bring him back in September and see where his arm strength is at? Because if he could maybe add 2-3 miles on his fastball, you have a totally different pitcher.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And the question is it really the case that Garcia is just really, really tired and just needs to get fresh? Or is it the case, you know, there's something else that's going on and he just flat out needs to
sit?
You know, maybe there's an injury somewhere, you know, down there. I don't think there is an injury, so I think it's more maybe he wasn't in the proper shape to start the season because he had all that other stuff going on, plus maybe he was a little lazy or who knows.
Maybe.
The White Sox have seemed to be very quiet about why he's had a loss of velocity. Hawk Harrelson and Darren Jackson have made it's very well known that they're not very pleased with the way Garcia's pitched. I mean, every broadcast with Garcia's out there, they're pretty much complaining about mm-hmm. Garcia. And that's coming from Hawk and DJ.
Yes.
They're usually the optimists. Hell, we're optimists for the most part. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this rotation. Because this rotation, as the White Sox go, it's going to be up to this rotation. We may make the playoffs, but they ain't going to go anywhere unless the starting rotation.
And that's the case, and that's going to be the case with most teams, you know. And that's it. I mean, when you look at the Red Sox, the rotation isn't completely deep, but it's decent enough to have some experience there. And you have obviously a solid bullpen with a guy like Papelbon, and their offense is obviously probably still one of the best in baseball. So every other team they do have some issues, but no different for the Sox.
Now we talked a bit, you know, about this major series coming up, but let's give a little bit of a preview towards the series. You have Tuesday, because today's the off day. We're doing the show on Monday. You have Tuesday, you got John Garland, who had an ERA in the low threes so far this month. I think it was one start, though. And he had a solid
Tuesday
prior month.
Is the biggest game of the year so far to this point. It'll be by far the biggest game of the season.
So you have Garland 8-3, 5.37, and we're going up against the left-hander, Nate Robinson, 8-5, 3.36 ERA. And I just want to point out, Robinson is pitching way over his head this year, but whatever he's doing, it's working. And he's a left-handed pitcher. Lefties give us trouble. Wednesday, we got Vasquez versus Bonderman. Let's be honest, Bonderman's one of the top pitchers, and he's done well historically against the White Sox. He's had quite a few good starts. Mm-hmm. And Vasquez is going to have to pitch up. He's going to have to pitch a damn good game to get a win there. Tuesday is a winnable game, though, because I don't think Robertson, I don't care how good his numbers are, he's a guy you should beat. Teams haven't done it this year against him, but he's a guy you should beat. Thursday, you got Contreras, our ace versus Kenny Rogers. Left-handed pitcher, but he's not a second-half pitcher, and I want the White Sox to send a message here. It's going to be big if they could send a message and really, you know, play some baseball. Because let's not be fooled into thinking the Tigers are playing great baseball either. Their starting rotation was pretty pathetic against the Kansas City Royals. It just happened to be the Kansas City Royals bullpen is terrible, and they blew every game except one.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That first game, I think, could really set the tone. Because if Garland keeps on pitching the way he is now, I think he's going to be on whole bunch of days rest, so you wonder how he's going to recover. But he had all that controversy happened last year, and he handled it fine. When it comes to Garland, I think if he could keep on doing what he's doing, he could really pitch a big game. And like you said, when you're talking about Nate Robertson, nothing really special there. If the Sox could get hot and nail him and hit him hard, maybe it'd be nice to get a nice little blowout in their first game. Kind of just set the tone and say, listen, as good as you've been, as bad as we've been, we can still kick your ass.
And what's going to be big is you got to look at it this way. We lose that game, then you got Vasquez going against Bonderman, and that's, let's be flat out honest, that's not a matchup in our favor. When you look at the starting pitching, Jeremy Bonderman is better than Javier Vasquez.
I would agree.
So that's not a matchup. So then you could have two
I think,
down.
Yeah, a win Tuesday, a win Tuesday eases the pressure for Vasquez on Wednesday. It eases it a little bit. And then, of course,
it makes the rest of the series better.
Yeah, and Thursday, you know, it's Kenny Rogers. Whenever you go up against him, he has the capabilities of pitching a really good game, so it's not an easy win or an advantage. But, you know, you have Contreras, so you got to like your odds, too. That first game, I think, is key. If Garland can win, if this offense could explode and maybe even get to that bullpen early, get to that Tigers bullpen early and kind of tire them out, it's going to make Wednesday's game a little bit easier.
And I'm going to add something. I do think if Todd Jones comes out for a save opportunity, he's going to blow a game.
How is he still? See, this is one thing. How is he still their closer?
I'm not exactly sure because they have guys that are better in their rotation. I mean, you know, Fernando Rodney, Bo Zumaya.
Blow it and they've been so happy with the way Leland has done things, and maybe he is the case for the Tigers play. But when you have a Todd Jones still as your closer and you have some quality guys behind him, That just doesn't make much sense. Don't go with the closer then. If I don't know. Why would you have a guy that average as your closer?
Whatever I can say is it's worked thus far for him. He hasn't exactly been pretty, but I guess he's gotten the job done despite a horrendous ERA. But the Tigers, obviously, I think they're going to try to make a move for something like that. And they keep talking. They want a left-handed bat. The Tigers do. You know, Bobby Abreu, everything else they've been talking about. And I'm sure they have chips to make the moves and, you know,
it's just
the
about having
Tigers
the balls
owners.
To do it. That's all it is.
Yeah. And I think they will because they know they haven't been in this position in a long time. Mm-hmm. They're not about to sit there and at least not go down without, you know, giving a fighting chance.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be huge, huge series.
I'm looking forward to it, though. I'm looking forward to it. You know me. I love when the Sox are at their worst and they're playing the best, because that's when you really see everything. You know what I mean? How is a team that's at their absolute worst, and this is the Sox are at their worst right now, losing 5 out of 6, getting swept by the Yankees. The Sox are at their worst right now. The Tigers are still doing pretty damn good. It'd be nice to see. How do the Sox react to it? How are they going to pick up, especially going to Detroit? I'm really kind of geeked up for this series.
Yeah, it's going to be a good series to watch. It's going to be the best series of the season thus far. Mm-hmm. So, and the biggest series of the season thus far.
Yes.
Because it'll change, you know, we win this series, things go back to being a little bit more fine and dandy. Maybe it's just, you know, a 3-day thing, but we lose this series or get swept, and some panic begins to come into play.
What if the Sox sweep? What do you think is the mentality now with the Tigers? Because then they would be what, 1-8 against the Sox?
I'll tell you one thing. We sweep them. There's a chance the Tigers collapse. Chance. I think I'm not going to say it's a great chance.
No.
But
there's doubt. I think there's definitely doubt in their mind again. I mean, you know, well, you're 1-5, and you can maybe make the argument that, you know what, it's 1-5, no big deal. But if you go and you lose again to a team that's playing bad, if you face the White Sox who are playing bad and still lose to them, I mean, how can you not think, man, you know, maybe we're not that good. Or at least question it. Who knows? Hopefully the Sox go out there and they give them a nice little whoop in that first game, and they take, you know, 2 out of 3 or even sweep, and they get into roll, because the series is after against the Rangers and the Twins. Those aren't going to be that easy. So the Sox could use some momentum facing those two teams.
If the Sox lose, they could be in for some serious hurt, because Texas would take – they can hate our pitching.
And the Twins,
and then Minnesota's got pitching.
Depending who you're facing, that could be a tough series too. So this Detroit series is going to be a big one. The first game is going to be a big one. All three games are going to be a big one. And, man, these are the games to definitely watch if you're a Sox fan.
Hey, this is where a team shows whether they got it or they don't.
Especially when they're at their worst. All right, well, we're going to – I don't know if we're going to be back next week. Maybe you'll be back next week.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Yeah.
So, and then Mario will be on his once-a-month hiatus. You know, he's got to get all the vacation days he gets. But thanks for listening. Feedback, contact at futuresox.com. Check out Talk Bears, Talk Bulls, Talk Beehawks. I mean, the Bulls, the Bears, the White Sox, all three of them. They got legitimate chances at winning at their sport.
Yes. All right, well.
So check them out. We'll all be back next week. Some sort of show, whatever. And we'll see you next week.